Recording. Welcome to the People's Talk podcast, where we discuss the intersection of people, work, and technology. I'm your host, Jen Bunk, founder of Jen Bunk Ventures and creator of PeopleStack Academy. And my guests for this episode are Rachel Murray and Felicia Jadzak, co-founders of She Geeks Out. Welcome, Felicia. Welcome, Rachel.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
No problem. This is so exciting. And how are you doing on this fine, rainy day in Boston?
Pretty good.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this weather because it's been
so hot.
It's been so hot and now it's rainy and now I'm wearing long pants.
Yes, so. That is a little weird, isn't it?
But that's, you know, that's really the only complaint that I have. Everything else is lovely.
Yeah. Can't complain.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so for those of you who think it doesn't get hot here up north in Boston, it totally does.
Totally does.
All right. So let's get started. And I'd like to hear the two of you talk about a little bit about what is She Geeks Out and also what you do in terms of organizing it and all that. What does mean being a co-founder mean that your day-to-day looks like?
I have no time for that.
So what's She Geeks Out? And then you can talk a little bit about what you do.
Sure, I guess I'll kick it off. So She Geeks Out is a community for women in STEM in the greater Boston area, although we are expanding beyond Boston. But basically, we do these monthly events where we bring together really cool women in awesome spaces. We work with local companies to host and sponsor our events. And we're focused on really just building up this community where women can kind of have a safe space to talk, network, be themselves, geek out, really sort of whatever they need, it's there for them.
And eat and drink.
And eat and drink. And drink. Yes.
And drink wine.
Yes, the eating and drinking is awesome.
Yeah. It's a key part.
It's fun.
So what about what you do? Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah, what do we do? Well, I mean, it's grown pretty organically. So when we started in, we started this in 2013. And it was very much, so Felicia was working for the company that was the first sponsor. And so she was sort of brought in to help, help with that. And, so Felicia actually had the most, event specific experience. So we're like, thank God that she was able to really, you know, she did get the food and worked with us and made and brought in the people.
And you know, it's funny because I think we talk about this a lot between ourselves, but for anyone who's listening, like it takes a lot to run an event. And the thing is that if you go to an event and have a good time, like you should never be exposed to the behind the scenes drama. Yeah. And there's always something happening, right?
What's behind the curtain, right?
Yeah, you know, and things. but then on the flip side, if you go and have a good time and nothing terrible happens, you don't appreciate sometimes like how much work it takes. And so, you know, before I met Rachel, I had been doing research conference events basically for my company VMware. And so I was putting on 30 plus different research conference, like VMware's presence at 30 plus different research conferences per year. And so I kind of had that down. So I was just like, great, this is another event. Like, let's just do it. You know, like tablecloth, name tags, food, drink, whatever, like raffle prizes, roll it all out.
So it was great. And so that was sort of what you were doing. And I'm the more techie person, more behind the scenes person. So I had the website. I was like, we should use Eventbrite. And we sort of, you know, we decided that we would donate proceeds to a local nonprofit. We use Science Club for Girls. We love them. And so that was sort of the way the work sort of split out originally. And we also had a wonderful other third person that helped us, Nicole, who she's not with us because she's all fancy because she's at like Harvard and doing
professor stuff.
Yeah, doing professor stuff. So being really smart. So so she just didn't have the time to stay with us. But so the way the work sort of splits out now is because our community is much larger and our what we do is I think a lot more sort of intense. We split it out between the two of us where I'm still doing more of the tech, the operations, the finance piece. I also do more of the sort of the community ambassador piece. We also have an ambassador group. And I'm also the podcast tech nerd too for us.
That's right. So you ladies, you have a podcast as well. So wink, wink.
Well, you were our first.
That was awesome. I love that. Yeah. So it's just wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Check out the She Geeks Out podcast. Yeah. It's on iTunes, I know.
Yeah. So it's great. And so we're just doing all of this stuff. And then
Yeah, I mean, I like to say I do more of like the front of the house kind of stuff. So I work more with our sponsors, like the corporate company side of things. So, you know, whenever we have events, we're being hosted by different companies. And so I'm the one who's kind of doing a lot of like the business development slash sales, which, ugh, sales.
And you're so great at it. But they're conversations.
The evil S word, right?
Thank you. But yeah, so doing a lot of that, working with the companies, the speakers, getting all the events set up, you know, handling a lot of like the pre and during and post logistics for like everything related to events and what we're doing with them. You know, and just, yeah, I mean, we're a startup too. Like, we kind of wear a lot of different hats.
Yeah.
So those are the rough breakdowns, but you know, yeah, like they're,
we share
and like, you know, I'll go on vacation and Rachel will be amazing and sort of pick up the slack and then vice versa.
And then you'll go in and like fix my Eventbrite mistakes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to say that we're in constant communication and we really are. And it's funny because most times we'll be talking simultaneously on, I want to say like an average of 3 or 4 different platforms. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like texting, GChat, Slack, Facebook,
regular email.
I mean, I could go on and on. It's ridiculous.
Simultaneous. You'll send an email, but you'll also send a Slack message with the same
and a GChat.
No, we don't do that. We're not those people.
Okay.
They're always just different messages.
Okay.
So like we'll send an email and then I'll send Rachel a separate GChat. And then sometimes we'll have a text too. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Like if a day goes by where we haven't talked, it's weird. There's something has gone on.
Somebody's away.
Like an alien invasion, zombies have attacked, you know, the world has ended.
Right. Hopefully it's not that. Yeah. But it works for you.
It does.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great.
It's fun. And that's really the great thing about it is that we really love it. So even though it's a lot of work, it's doesn't feel like work. It's really exciting. It's very dynamic. It changes a lot. We're, you know, we're supporting this incredible community of really just, I've said this before and I really do believe it's just like you've been to our events, like the coolest women, you know, just it's, we embrace our awkward. We let our geek flag fly. Like that is who we are. This is what we do. And we just love being able to create that space for these women.
Yeah. So speaking of geeking out, this is a question that you've asked lots of people before. And I'm not sure that I've ever heard your answers to this question. What do you geek out about?
Oh, this is so weird being on the other side of it. Like I'm not used to talking about myself like this.
I know. So many things. I geek out about so many. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Go first. Go for it. Ugh. Can't talk. That's my awkward coming through. Feel free.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show. It's just I geek out about a lot of things, and it's my brain is filled with geeky things. So, one is, which Felicia certainly knows, is my obsession with ClassPass and Flywheel Spin and Barry's and Exhale. So I have this whole boutique fitness situation that's happening in Boston. Mm-hmm. So I geek out a lot about that. Yeah. And I also geek out about like James McAvoy and X-Men and like superhero shows.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like superhero movies. Like I will go and watch any, if there's a movie that was based on a comic, I will go and watch it happily.
Oh, wow.
And also lately Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters. I've been geeking out a lot about that.
Yeah, so that I want to see. I'm not usually into that kind of movie, but Ghostbusters, I mean, come on.
I mean, it's kind of, it's so, a friend of mine on Facebook had written, and we both have seen it now, and we both feel the same way, that there's this one scene toward the end with Kate McKinnon, and she's just this complete badass. You know, they're wearing like their Ghostbusters outfits, completely like not sexualized in any way. And she's just taking names and numbers, and she's just being awesome. And she's like super smart and really funny and really cool. And my friend said, man, I got so emotional because I thought, wow, what this could have been for me if I were a 7-year-old girl watching this, because that's sort of the first time that's, I was trying to think of a fight scene with a woman that wasn't super sexualized.
And also she's wearing a garbage man outfit.
Yeah. Like
her boobs are not popping out. Her hair is in ponytail. That is one of my biggest pet peeves actually, where these female superheroes have their hair flying in their faces. I'm like, no, they would obviously cut their hair or put it in a damn ponytail. Sorry, I hope I can curse, but
a headband.
Yeah. Like no one's going to be out there with their hair in their eyes while they're trying to fight. Like,
I can barely walk down the street without a headband.
Even Thor has a man bun going on. Come on, people. But, you know, it's funny because so Rachel and I are, you know, in addition to being connected on all the platforms, also Facebook friends. And mm-hmm. I had actually seen this post that she shared and I had not seen the movie yet. And so I kind of was going in when I did see the movie. I had that post in the back of my head and I, you know, wasn't like looking for this scene in particular, but I was curious to see, you know, obviously we've heard so much about it. There's been a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
And when this particular scene came on, like I immediately first thought was like, oh, this is what this woman was talking about. And then I had this like really visceral reaction, the same exact reaction where I almost teared up in the theater because I was like, oh my God, not only am I 100% in agreement with this woman who I've never even met, and this is so powerful, but like, yeah, you know, when I was little, I used to want to be a boy because I thought girls had such a shitty life.
And by the way, cursing is totally fine. I will not beep you out.
I know. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just like cursing a storm up here. But you know, I used to like really, like I remember being really little and thinking to myself, like girls have it so much worse than boys do. Like we can't pee standing up. Like we have to go through puberty.
What's up with that?
Well, boys have to go through puberty too.
Yeah,
and
but
I have to say,
I went through a rough puberty time. Like it was rough. But
I'm not gonna lie. I'm really glad I wasn't a boy going through puberty because there's some really terrible.
I mean, yes. I mean, there's pros and cons. True. And then you know, just to be clear, like I'm perfectly happy to be a girl and a woman now. But I do remember having this like thought process, and you know, even to the point where I was a really big writer. And when I would write stories growing up, all my main characters were boys. I never had a girl main character, which is crazy. And so anyway, that kind of like flashed into my head when I was watching this scene. And I like almost started crying because I was like, wow, if I had seen something like this, where the entire movie is so great, where it's just like, it's not sexualized. Like they're just so badass. They're maybe I would have thought differently, you know?
It sounds like it reminds me, what is it called? I think it's called the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Totally went past that.
100%.
100%. Miracle.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. All right. So, Felicia, what do you geek out about?
Other than Ghostbusters, what do you geek out
about? I clearly just geeked all out about that. I'm similar to Rachel, also have like a fitness semi-obsession. I don't think it's quite to the same level as she has. But so I go to this local rock climbing gym called Brooklyn Boulders over in Somerville. Love it. So I've been living in Somerville for about a little more than 3 years. And so I moved right when this gym opened. And it's funny because I actually did not like ever rock climb. And I was not, I don't really consider myself athletic, but I decided to join because I wanted to, it was at a point in my life where I was trying to get back into fitness. And I was also trying to challenge myself because I felt like I was playing it safe a lot of the time. And I consciously wanted to put myself in situations where I felt uncomfortable. And you know, the first time I went rock climbing with a friend, I couldn't get to the top of the wall. I was like sweating and shaking, and I was like, okay, this will do it. This will combine these two things that I'm trying to do. And so I signed up for like a month or two and forced myself to start going, and ended up really, really loving it. But it was funny because the first class that I took, where you have to like learn, you know, how to put on
all the
harness
and
everything.
And
the people there are so nice, but they're so into it. And the guy was like, oh my God, you just love climbing. And I was like, no. No,
to
I
be
hate
honest,
it.
I just started,
and he was
I
like,
love it,
what?
Yeah.
And I was like, teach me how to tie this rope. But you know, but I really love it. It's such a great community. The space is really cool. Yeah. And actually, the space is filled with like awesome art, and that touches on my second real big like thing that I geek out about, which is graffiti and street art. And that's another really big passion in my life, which, you know, I'm not like shy about it, but it's also like not something that a lot of people know, I don't think. But
you
I
have a separate Instagram.
Yeah,
identity.
I have so many Instagram accounts, but one of them.
That's great.
One of them.
You have to teach
me
about Instagram. I know nothing about Instagram.
Oh my God, I'm like obsessed with Instagram. But yeah, one of them is called Somerville Graph. And basically, I just post pictures of graffiti and street art and like weird things that I see around the city.
That's great.
And it's like semi-anonymous. And I started this again around the same time, like 2 or 3 years ago when I first moved to Somerville, just because there is so much more stuff there than there was in the previous city that I was in.
Yeah.
And I really liked it and I liked learning about it. But then to go back to this conversation that we're having about like, you know, boys versus girls, graffiti is also like a really big male dominated industry, or field, whatever word you use. And I didn't realize this at first. And so when I started posting pictures, I realized that people started thinking that I was a guy. And then I realized that I was responding to you know, accounts and people on my graffiti account differently than I was on, like, my personal account. And I was acting more like a guy. And so I made this whole alter ego for myself. And, like, he has a name. Great. And, like, it's just this, like, I'm not, like, I don't have, like, split personality.
Social experiment going on.
Yeah. And it was just so funny because I'd be like, yeah, dude, like, whatever. Like, and then on my personal account, I'd be like, oh, hello. Like,
what's the name? What's the
alter? His name is Griffin.
Griffin. I love it. Griffin. That's kind of perfect. That is. Griffin the graffiti.
Exactly.
That's right. There you go. It's got the alliteration going on. So you said you felt like you were treated differently in the female alter ego versus the male alter ego.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's funny. Graffiti, like, I follow a lot of people now, and I've learned a lot, but I... Even still, like, there are very few female artists that I'm aware of. And it got to the point where I didn't set out to be, like, male-esque or have this, you know, persona or whatever. But I started realizing that people thought I was a guy. And then I was like, oh, let me just keep this going. And just, you know, I'm not going to post selfies or, like, post pictures with my image reflected in it or whatever. Right. And then I ended up meeting a couple people in person who I followed who were, like, you know, in the scene or whatever, and they were just like, they would be shocked and they'd be like, oh my god, like, you're Somerville Graff? And I'd be like, yes, me.
Wow. That's quite the story. That's really interesting. Even just that you didn't reveal your gender at all, the fact that people just assumed, oh, yeah, must be a guy.
Yeah. And it was just so funny because I am more surprised that I was surprised, I think, because, you know, like, I think we all, like, we work in tech. I've been in tech almost my entire career. It's so male dominated. And I was just like, what? Graffiti people think I'm a guy? Like, it was just so funny. But that's my other thing that I geek out about.
Yeah. Awesome. So thanks for sharing. Let's talk a little bit more about She Geeks Out. I know that it started out as Boston Girl Geek Dinners. I listened to the podcast where two of you talked about the history.
The origin
really
story.
Interesting. Yes, the origin story. And so we don't have to get into all of the details. If folks are interested, they can listen to that. But what I'm wondering, from a person who's interested in how stuff changes over time, especially from a how the work changes over time, how has stuff changed and stayed the same if you think back to the years when it was Boston Girl Geek Dinners to now it's She Geeks Out?
Well, I mean, it's been quite a significant change, I think. I mean, the actual nature of, you know, doing the events, they haven't changed all that much. I think we've gotten a lot more streamlined where, you know, we have sort of a system in place now, but it was sort of grown really organically, you know, through a lot of trial and error and a lot of feedback that we've gotten from our community and from sponsors and trying to say, oh, that's a really good idea. Let's incorporate that. And so we've just sort of built on that, iterated on that. So, we're flexible, but we've definitely, sort of systematized that quite a bit. I think that's probably the biggest change, and we're just doing a lot more.
Yeah.
So it just requires a lot more, like what Felicia was saying. I mean, we're just in constant communication because we went from doing, you know, one event sort of every other month to then once a month to now we do it twice a month, and we're looking to expand, and we're doing the podcast, and it's just sort of a lot. There's just a lot more going on.
Yeah, I think one change that I kind of don't think about very much, but which is fairly significant besides the name and all that, is so when we first started out, you know, the basic event is still the same. It's 3 hours long, networking, speakers, networking, food, drink. But we originally started with, we would try and source 3 female speakers from the host company, and they all had to be in tech, and they all had to talk about their, like, work and their tech projects.
Right.
And we very quickly stopped doing that because it was so hard, which is really, I think, speaks to, you know, the issues that women still face in tech, is because some companies wouldn't have 3 women, or they wouldn't have 3 women in tech, or they didn't have 3 women who wanted to talk, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And then it also, to be honest, like, I hate to say it, but it got kind of boring, because you would just hear 3 talks on kind of the same topics, one after another, and it was just like, okay, you know,
right?
So one of the things that we shifted to, I guess, like, relatively, midway, I mean, yeah, relatively quickly, early, but
yeah,
You know, which we definitely do now, is we still have 3 female speakers for our flagship event, which is the networking focused one. But only 1 speaker is from the host company. We source the other 2 speakers. And so we try to really mix it up and have 3 very different topics. Yeah. Occasionally we'll do sort of like more themed events where maybe all the speakers will be from like education or whatever, but those are much more rare. Yeah. We really try to be much more diverse and thoughtful and just kind of have something that appeals to everybody. And then that way, you know, if you don't like the first talk, it's only 10 minutes long, and then maybe the other one will be more interesting to you, or vice versa. You know, and then that's also solved an issue where, you know, we have some companies where they don't have any woman, and that's actually why they're partnering with us. And, you know, it's not as common now, I think, as it was before, but certainly we work with some companies where they call us up and they're like, hi, we're 5 guys and we want to hire a woman, but we don't have any woman. So we'd be happy to suggest some woman who we work with, but is that okay?
Right.
And that's totally fine. But, you know, that's still an issue, to be honest. So,
So just to find women in tech, because there's so few women in tech.
It's changing.
What it is that they're just... The companies that are sponsoring are doing it very intentionally. I mean, one of the reasons why companies sponsor events is because we offer them an opportunity to meet other women to potentially hire. So I think that there actually are a lot of women that are out there. They may not be comfortable speaking. They certainly may not be working for the company, but the idea is to get them there. So
So as 2 women who have successfully brought a grassroots effort. I wasn't around in the days of the dinners, but I'm assuming it was basically just like, let's meet at so-and-so restaurant, you know, that kind of thing, to what it is today. And if there's anyone out there who's thinking of wanting to follow that same path or a similar path, what advice might you give to them?
Well, Felicia's actually done this, given advice.
Have I?
Do you want me to? Well, I think. Well, there's a lot. I mean, we've had people come up to us and say, you know, how have you done this? This is so great. I mean, there's a variety of factors. I mean, one is certainly having a sponsoring company. I mean, that was the sort of game changer when we were in 2008, and it was just me, like you know, and a Facebook group, like women getting together and going to a restaurant and literally eating. You know, that wasn't a sponsored thing. Having a sponsored event was great. That's one really key piece. Another huge factor is really being consistent on your execution. I think, you know, people, like what you were saying earlier, Felicia, is I don't think people realize the amount of work it takes to actually pull off an event, let alone a successful one.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of work. And I think that plays into another piece, which is actually having time to do it. You know, we're all busy people.
And interest.
And you have to have that passion and the physical time. And, you know, I think when I initially met Rachel and Nicole and we had put this first event on, I was actually personally at a point where I had a lot of free time because I had just graduated from business school like a year or so earlier. And I had been, you know, about a year working back in the real work world under my belt. And I was actually looking for volunteer opportunities because I felt like I would go home and watch TV and go to bed. And I had all this time because I was used to, you know, like working in school. And I was like, what do I do with all this free time? And so, you know, when the Boston Grogie dinners came around, I had that time to really start working on something. And to be honest, like as it grew, I don't think, at least for me, I would have been able to grow with it the way that we both did if I hadn't had the luxury. And I will say it has been a luxury of having a company who's been not only supportive, but I have a very flexible work schedule.
Yeah.
And so I can do things like take a coffee meeting in the middle of the day or maybe take a couple minutes and have a phone call with a potential sponsor. Mm-hmm. And I'm not having to do like a strict, you know, 9 to 5, 9 to 6, where I'm only working on VMware stuff. And that has been a real game changer, I think. Yeah. And that's something that not everyone is able to have.
Yeah. And so I think that that's an important point. So Felicia, you have a quote unquote day job, right?
I do.
So you work whatever it is, 40, 50 hours a week for VMware. Mm-hmm. And what is it that you do there?
I am a staff program manager for the office of the CTO. So what that means is I work with what we call innovation programs. And so these are things that are housed out of the CTO's office. They're not necessarily product related, but we try to really kind of get our engineers to think outside the box and come up with that, like, you know, next big idea. So it's a lot of interfacing between multiple units of the company. I kind of work as a liaison between a lot of our R&D and our engineering teams and, you know, executives, finance, business units. And so, you know, it could be communications related, it could be events. You know, we do a huge innovation conference every year out in San Francisco. So there's a lot of different things that kind of come across my plate, but it's really more, it's like being a project manager, but my projects never end and they're much more high level and strategic. I'm a just a glorified cat herder, basically.
That's great. So you do that, which is like a big thing to do. And then you're also doing the Shaking Sound stuff.
I mean, so, it was nice because it actually, and I know this is the true for Rachel in a different way, but I think, again, partially why we've been successful with what we've done is that our personal and professional interests aligned very nicely with what we were trying to do, or not even what we were trying to do, but what we were just kind of thrown into with the Girl Geek Dinners originally. So, you know, to backtrack to 3-4 years ago, around that time, I had also been asked by my VP to start to grow a grassroots group for our female engineers within VMware. It was called Wired Women in R&D. And so it had started a little bit, but the woman who had started it had left. And so she was like, can you take over this group and really make it into something? And that's kind of how I've always worked, is I've been given a project and then it's like, make it happen. I'm like, all right, here we go.
That's another project. That's what she decided. Right, with the stuff you normally do.
So I had already been doing a lot of work internally to do my research, and I had been reaching out to different companies to see how we could share best practices. And so I had been building up my own network. And that really was super helpful when Rachel and Nicole came along, because I had sort of that in mind already. You know, and it was a really nice alignment where for a while, actually, the work I was doing at VMware, you know, it was simultaneous with the work that we were doing for Girl Geek Dinners. And so that was, again, like a huge help because I could kind of mesh the two. And so I was working, but it was benefiting, you know, two things as opposed to one.
So efficient.
Try to be. Wear a lot of different hats.
Well, and it's funny because when we started this, you know, we talk so much about how this has been so organic. I think if somebody had said to me, hey, Rachel, in 2016, you're going to be doing what we're doing now. Back in 2013, I would have been like, you crazy. It's just like a thing that we're doing. And we're all, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to have a really wonderful partner to work with, too. It's so great to be able to rely. I've personally had experiences where I've worked for my, like, just worked on my own and been a solo entrepreneur, and I absolutely give so much credit to people who are those solo entrepreneurs and able to do that. I have found personally that having somebody that you can rely on consistently, first of all, incredibly difficult to find, and feel very lucky to have found not only somebody who has been consistently reliable but also a nice person, and you know, and challenges me, and I, you know, we are comfortable enough to challenge each other when it comes to that. You know, and, but we're also hive mind. So like 95% of the time we are actually very much in alignment with whatever we want to do next.
That's great.
So it's really like, if somebody wants to start this, it's just, you can't even imagine like the level of the challenges. And it very much has been, we talk about this a lot, the universe has very much been in our favor.
It's been an alignment.
It has been, I mean, you know, companies, it's wonderful. We have not had to really do a lot of marketing and advertising and pushing and, you know, to try to get people, you know, we're very lucky in that way. There's clearly, there's a need for it and people have been responding to what we're doing. And
Well, awesome. I mean, and again, like, it does come back down to like, Rachel's been in Boston for a long time. So have I. You know, we have these networks that were already in place. And that's been something, too, that we've talked about when we've had people come to us and say, how did you do it? Or I want to do this, too. And we've said, do you have a network that you can draw upon, whether it's personal or professional or both? And a lot of times people say, oh, I don't know anyone here. And, you know, and that's something where in the beginning it was hard. You know, we would very much do event to event. And so we would literally get up at an event and say, hi, if you had a good time here, let us know because we're not sure where we'll be next time or when it will be. Yeah. So
sort of cross your fingers.
Yeah. And you know, and it almost inevitably someone would come up to us at the end of the night and say, I had a great time. My company might be interested. Can we talk more? And we'd be like, great.
Yeah. And honestly, I never felt like cross your fingers. I was like, well, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Well, yeah. we weren't really looking.
But it's a very different attitude, I think, than when you're normal. So I have another business too. And I joke with Felicia all the time. I feel like with She Geeks Out, it's like rolling downhill. Like it's just, you know, that easy. And with my other business, it's like pushing a rock uphill.
Right.
You know, it's like the level of effort, you know, it's like, well, because in the beginning we're like, this isn't going to be a thing. And then I was like, oh my God, this is totally a thing.
Well, but in both cases, like even with your other business, Kind Eye and Kind Eye for Business. Give a little shout out there.
Thanks for the shout out.
But I think to my point is, you know, having that network is so important because, you know, whether you have a partner or if you don't have a partner, like having a community where you can vent or ask for help or you know, celebrate your successes is really big. And, you know, in the beginning we would go on Facebook and be like, hey guys, like we sold like 2 tickets. Anyone want to come hang out with us? Like I remember sharing a lot of posts and being like, who wants to come hang out with me? And you know, and it's a little different nowadays, but you know, that was, we really tapped our personal connections. And what's been nice is, and I talk about this a lot, like we need a new word now where it's not, someone's not your friend and they're not your professional contact, but they're like a mixture. Because I mean, I've had so many amazing women and men who I feel word. Like they've turned into these friends, but they were professional contacts.
I have a word.
What is the word?
Frolic.
Frolic.
Friend and colleague.
Yeah.
My frolic.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, sure. Great.
Because I've said that too. Like, this is my frolic.
And you know, and like Rachel really turned me on to this, but I feel like, so I, as we said before, like I'm a huge Instagram fan. Like that is my jam and like that's my platform. But I've started using Facebook as almost like a LinkedIn where if I meet someone who's like really cool and I like want to work with them, but also get to know them a little bit better, it's like Facebook friends. And that's before tricky. I used to keep it very, very distinct.
Yeah.
But Rachel's a big Facebook friend.
Oh my God, I'm like a lunatic on Facebook.
I don't want to go down the Facebook rabbit hole.
I also geek out about politics.
But just to finish the arc, when I was asking, you know, like what else do the two of you do in your lives? I think this is a really good example for folks listening out there. Like, okay, say I wanted to do this. I want to create the She Geeks Out or something like that in my city or in my area. It doesn't have to be the only thing that you do. Oh, no. And actually, it may actually help if it's not the only thing that you do, as long as you have that flexibility to be able to find that time to spend on whatever it is, whether it's you're an entrepreneur and you have multiple businesses or whether you have a full-time job and you want this to be another project. I think it's a really good example of different ways that you can make this work if you really wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, what we've told people who are looking to do stuff that's similar or help us expand to different areas is that you really need 2 major pieces. Mm-hmm. One is like, or actually, I guess 3. Mm-hmm. So the first is the time and energy and passion. The second is, do you have a personal network or personal/professional network that you can tap into? And then the third is their sponsoring company. And those are really the 3 pieces. And you know what? It's hard. You think it's not that difficult, like that sounds really simple, but that's actually a lot more difficult than a lot of people think. You know, they'll jump in and they'll say, yes, great. And then you're like, you know, a month later, you're like, oh, actually life got really busy.
Yeah.
You know, like we've made sacrifices to do this, especially as it's grown. Like, you know, a lot of times we'll be working 24/7. We work on the weekends or answering emails. Like,
I don't like going out at night. Now I go out almost every other Tuesday night.
Yeah, but you're still answering your emails. It's like a catch-22. Phone is always there.
Yeah. And you know, you make it work. And you know, to your point earlier about systematizing and like sort of making things run more efficiently.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it's like it's so hard and you're spending so much time just trying to figure out how to make it work. But then later on, you're able to get so much more done and be so much more successful with this in the same amount of time because of that figuring out that system. Yeah. You
know, we spent a lot of time on that.
The special sauce.
I feel like we forget how much time we spent figuring it out.
Well,
but we did.
We did. And it's actually really funny because we've had the opportunity to go into another city and we've talked with them about it and they're like, and as we were explaining to them what it would take, because they were like, oh, we would be interested in doing this. We're like, here's all the things you need. And I was blowing my own mind going through. I was like, do we send them like a kit, like a She Geeks Out kit of all of the things? Because there's like physical things too, not just the digital stuff and like the people. It's really interesting.
I mean, I feel like anyone who's ever done, again, anyone who's done events knows, like, there's a million details. And we're both, I guess, lucky or unlucky, as the case might be. We're very detail-oriented, but a lot of people aren't. And really, you know, what we've always strived for, because with these events, you want to have people to have a good experience, right? Yeah. And so my goal has always been, you should have a good experience before, during, and after. Right. Yeah. And you should never know what's going on behind the scenes. Yeah.
Right.
But that takes a ton of work, you know? And there's just, I can't even stress it out. There's a million details that go into it, even from the standpoint where we respond to emails really quickly. You know, we try to be cheerful. We try to be nice.
Right. That's all part of the special
sauce. It makes a big
difference.
It really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science.
The no asshole policy.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, so shifting gears a little bit, we have about 5-ish more minutes or so.
Oh my goodness.
Talking, I know, it's been fun. Time flies. I want to talk a little bit what I call the special snowflake theory within the tech world. So basically, there's this tendency within any industry, and I think tech is not, this applies to the tech world as well, the problems, that the pain points that we experience are special to our particular industry. So if you talk to, I've been talking a lot lately, for example, with engineering managers, like very specific niche, right? And they talk about, oh, how I was an engineer and now I'm a manager. And the reason that I became a manager was because I was very talented as an engineer. And now I find myself in a position where I'm managing people and don't have the resources. I feel like I'm flying blind. And then, you know, when you sort of suggest that, you know what, that's not really specific to the tech industry, although the way that you solve the problems may be, they're like, oh yeah, you know what, I never thought of it that way. So it's sort of this, like, the special snowflake theory of tech. Mm-hmm. So I'm just throwing it out there. What do you think about this special snowflake theory? To what extent do you think within the tech world there are specific problems and issues that are truly specific and unique to the tech industry versus not?
Oh man, finishing up with a hard one.
Do you have any thoughts?
I mean, you know, I think on an initial sort of response, I feel like, you know, you're right, we have this special snowflake mindset, but I don't think it's really all that accurate. And if anyone, you know, has actual, like, challenges with real data, like, feel free to debunk me. But, you know, my take on it has been, like, there are a lot of companies out there who have already solved some of these problems. Like, you look at, you know, American Express or, you know, like IBM. Like there's some, like, and they're big companies. They're established. They're old. But, you know, are you guys familiar with the Anita Borg Institute and their top company award? So Anita Borg Institute, it's a really great foundation. They're the ones who actually throw the Grace Hopper Celebration for Women in Computing every year, which is one of the largest, you know, conferences for women in computing. And they do, I'm not sure if it's actually like completely aligned with Grace Hopper, but around the same time frame, like a little earlier, they do this thing called Top Company, where they actually, you have to submit to it. And it's for tech companies. And you basically submit like your hiring data and, you know, how many women did you hire? How many women did you promote? Like, and it's all the stuff that a lot of these tech companies, mine included, don't really want to talk about. They want to keep that secret. But, you know, so it's all very confidential, but you submit your data. And then they basically like pick a winner. And it's a company that has really helped support women. And, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head, but, you know, I remember American Express is one that won recently. And you can go on their website and kind of check it out. But these are much more established companies. They have really significant, like, mentoring programs. Like, they have hundreds and thousands of women. Mm-hmm. Their numbers are much more like on parity. And I can tell you, like, when VMware started working and submitting, it was me. This is part of what I used to do as my grassroots group Wired stuff, you know, back in the day, 2012, 2013. And I was submitting this data, and our numbers were terrible, like really terrible. And a lot of these tech companies, you know, they started as startups, and now they've grown exponentially. We have got unicorns. We've got, you know, a lot of male-dominated environments. And so they have yet to catch up with that. And, you know, yeah, there are companies like Oracle or whatever where they're seen as stodgy and kind of behind the curve, but they also have that experience where they have the years and they have the time where they've actually put dollars and time and skill and, you know, effort into really tackling a lot of these problems. And I think that there's a lot to learn from there.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all the things that you said. I think the one sort of, I guess, special snowflake element to the tech industry is I can't think of another industry where there is so much money given to so many inexperienced business people and largely men, as that's the majority of the people who are getting the VC funding. And they are expected to grow these companies very quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they are considering human resources as much. Mm-hmm. And so I do think they're all solvable. I just don't think they're part of the equation when a VC comes in and says, you need to grow this company. They're just looking for an exit. They're not looking for sustainability. And sustainability means having a strong corporate culture that promotes diversity. And so I would say that's probably the special snowflake factor really of the tech industry.
I mean, and I do think it's changing. Like, it's taking us a long time. It's taking us longer than it should have, I think.
Yeah.
I'll give you a quick example again. Like, I know I kind of trashed VMware a little bit, but but I don't mean it that way. But we actually just came out, I want to say like 2 days ago, with a revised parental leave policy where all new parents, whether they're mothers, fathers, or new adopters, get 18 weeks of paid leave.
That's which awesome.
I think is amazing. You know, it took a long time to get that, but it's like they're trying. So
yeah,
and other companies are trying too.
And they're a large multi-bajillion dollar company.
Yeah, 20,000 plus people all over the world. So it's a big deal, you know.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it is changing. It's just, you know, I think people are more aware now of the issues. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, media and groups like ours and what you're doing. And
exactly. So. Change comes so painfully slowly, but I think we are starting to see some of these little pieces of evidence that, you know what, this it is going to happen, whatever it is you're talking about, whether it's you're talking about like women finally breaking through the glass ceiling in tech, mm-hmm. or finally having paid family leave policies that support women, which is related to that, or anything else, like finally getting out of this, like, I need to just grow the business to sell it mentality.
Right,
Whatever it is you're talking about, I think we'll get there.
And Ghostbusters. It's happening in the media too.
That's right. And that's all, it's all part of the equation. Absolutely. It's all part of the puzzle. Yeah. Absolutely. So we went from Ghostbusters to VCs.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So we are just about out of time. I want to thank the two of you once more for chatting today. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Felicia.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
And that wraps up another episode of the PeopleStack podcast. Check out my website, jenbunk.com. That's JenBunk.com, where you can find lots of goodies, including a link to PeopleStack Academy, my online school dedicated to helping the tech community build better people processes. Also on jenbunk.com, you can sign up for the Change Log, the PeopleStack weekly email with tips and exclusive offers only available to my email tribe. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.